Joined on the line this morning by Dorothy Marsick. She is a playwright, also a professor, and she's an author now, too, because she's written the book With One Shot, subtitled Family Murder and a Search for Justice. And Dorothy, this is part of your family story, correct?
Yes, it's the story of the murder of my uncle, my mother's brother.
And tell me a little bit about this. How old were you when this happened and the circumstances?
I was in college, and I was going to school in Madison, Wisconsin, and my uncle was working in Madison. It was his second marriage. He'd left something like a June Cleaver wife to marry someone like Sharon Stone in Basic Instinct. They had a tort affair, and they both got divorced and remarried. And then 7 years later, half his head was blown off over the bedroom wallpaper.
And what were the circumstances surrounding this? Who was involved in
well,
that? What were the,
okay, who was in the home that night was my uncle, his second wife, and the stepson, Suzanne's son, and both of their fingerprints were on the gun. They took them both to the police station, and they were going to arrest David, the stepson, but Suzanne said, no, I'll confess if I can get an insanity plea. So she ultimately got an insanity plea, spent 11 months in a mental hospital, then got out completely cured with paranoid schizophrenia, and then she got all of his assets, including his life insurance, got double indemnity, and that was it. And she was free for the rest of her life.
What made you turn to researching this, making a story, trying to find the truth?
Well, we always wondered why the court case went so fast. In fact, his last hearing, which, you know, other cases that year were 500 transcript pages in the court transcripts. His was only 15 pages. The thing took about 10 minutes. My grandmother and aunt went there, and suddenly it was over, and they thought it had hardly started. We always felt there was some miscarriage of justice, that there were rumors that David had actually pulled the trigger and not Suzanne. So I set out to do research. At first, my cousin and I were just looking at, well, who actually did pull the trigger? Who murdered my uncle? And I went to visit them in their home, the murdered family, the family of the murderers, and started talking to them and just got more and more interested in doing the research, the police reports, the court documents. I interviewed 60 people, and I ended up writing this book called With One Shot that tells the story of how I solved the crime, because the way the forensic evidence is has nothing in relationship to how it went out in court. It could not have happened the way they explained it in court.
When you were going through this process, was it sort of like an emotional roller coaster?
That's a good way to term it. It was. It was like watching a Steven Spielberg film or being on an emotional roller coaster, because it was my uncle. I was in pain, and all of us had been in pain all these years. When somebody's brutally murdered who you love, it's pretty horrible. And he was in the prime of his life. He was doing really well in his career for the state attorney general. And it was pretty difficult to go back and look at the coroner's photos of his murder, to read all the information, and the police reports had, they're just a series of small reports from all the different police officers that were on the crime scene and following what the district attorney did. And then she got out 11 months in the hospital, and that was it. And she got all my uncle's assets, as I said, including the double indemnity on his life insurance, which you think, wait a minute, she confessed to murdering him. How is that possible? But it's all written up in one shot, with one shot.
With One Shot, Family Murder and a Search for Justice. This happened in 1970. A lot of different forensic techniques have advanced since then. Did you apply today's technology to what the information was and all the evidence from 1970?
Well, what I did is hire a forensic expert to develop 3D crime images, because back then they only used the two-dimensional on a piece of paper so you can look down at everything. And I knew there was more technology than that. So we developed 3D, being able to look and created avatars for people so we could actually look at more easily what was happening in the crime scene based on the forensic measurements and the data that was in the police reports.
You spent some time interviewing Suzanne, his second wife. What was that like for you?
Yes. Well, it was very interesting. I spent four times. I went to their place, and it was a total of 14 hours I spent with her. It was very interesting to get her side. Let me just say she wasn't really thrilled at first to talk about the murder, and none of them actually were. I think they tried to put it out of their minds. It actually, some of them had changed their names, and they'd moved, and they were just living their life as if it had never happened. Where in my family, we could not talk about it. It was such a big, important topic for us that our beloved Uncle Vernie had been murdered so brutally.
This took place in Wisconsin. We see other stories of Wisconsin, right? Is that
yes, yes, outside Madison, Wisconsin.
And what was it like to kind of go back and kind of be there at the scene of the crime, so to speak?
Yeah, it was eerie because I hadn't been back. I went back to the house where the murder took place. Somebody else was living there, but they were very kind and let me come and visit and take pictures. It was eerie. It was like, you know, when you go back to a house you haven't seen for decades, it always looks smaller than you remember. And going back to the room where the murder took place and remembering the times that I had spent there and how the furniture was different. But just the first time I went there, I didn't want to leave because there was some comfort. There was an eeriness, but there was some comfort in being in that home where my uncle had lived for several years. And actually on the picture of the cover of the book is the picture of that house.
I suppose where the light is lit is where the murder took place then.
Yes, yes, that was the artist's rendering of it, and it's people from that town really like the picture also. They go, "Oh my goodness, I go past that house every day, and it's a beautiful home." But a murder took place there.
Now, tell us a little more about your uncle. He was a former police officer, correct? I mean, sometimes...
Yes, he'd been a police officer in Beloit, Wisconsin, and he moved up to chief of captains, and then he sat for an exam in Madison, Wisconsin, which only five people were chosen for to be on an elite investigative force for the state of Wisconsin Attorney General's office. And he was there for several years, then he moved over to the medical examiner's board. He was his whole life a career law enforcement officer, and so it was a cop killing. And it was he was very well liked and also kept moving up in his career. I've interviewed people he worked with. They respected him a lot, his knowledge of the law, the way he went about cases. He did undercover work with mafia and prostitution and doctors that were misusing their medical license. So the 12 newspapers carried articles on the murder. They had 12 newspapers carried 26 articles that first day and kept reporting for 2 years. So my uncle, Laverne Stordak, was well-known in the tri-state area.
What was the initial reason for the killing? What was the motive, was it?
Well, she said she had a psychotic break, and she didn't know what she was doing, and she hoisted up this huge gun. And by her own admission and everybody else who the police interviewed, she'd never lifted up a gun before. And this is a very complicated Mauser 8mm action rifle, which is something that you don't just pick up and shoot with one bullet. That's why the book is called With One Shot. There was only one bullet and went straight into the temple of his left ear. So it's not the sort of thing the first time you're picking up a gun, you're going to do that. That's why it's questionable whether she did it.
Why do you think we get, in your book, not specifically, but in this whole genre, are we fascinated with some of these stories? I mean, is it just the fact that we realize in all commonplace there could be a tragedy like this that occur in our life, and this is similar to what could possibly take place, and it just seems so regular?
Yeah, I think it is. There's a book somebody wrote, Why Do We Love Serial Killers? I did some research on that, and he goes back to the time of Jesus and Barnabas and says to the people, who do you want to let free? Now, Barnabas had killed several people, so he was a serial killer. And everybody said, let's let Barnabas free. Well, even back then, there was some fascination with serial killers. It's interesting, isn't it?
Just makes us look maybe at the dark side, and we have some weird fascination in some sense. Again, the book is called With One Shot, Family Murder and a Search for Justice. Our guest this morning, author Dorothy Marsick. We appreciate your time this morning and sharing
Craig
your
and
story. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.